Hey, happy day. I've been watching on television, on CNN on one side, on the left, and on the right side of the screen is Fox News, and I've been watching the lady doing the Supreme Court stuff, you know, and it's kind of interesting. I got lots of that to share with you, but I want to start off this program with this. Left-wing fake news newspapers are thin. Have you noticed? There's not much in them anymore. Times have changed. Why are they thin? Because they only tell one side of the story. That would be it. You know, despite all of the faulty polls, and polls I think for the most part are for strippers and dogs, right? But despite all the faulty polls, in some cases double digit with regard to President Trump, I actually believe he will win with a landslide. I believe he will win bigger and better than he did in 2016. The election looks like a carbon copy of that year, 2016. It really does. People are frightened to say. They don't want confrontations. Who are you going to vote for? I'm not going to say. Or they say the other guy, they don't tell the truth, and that is proven. You should have a poll on truth talking and truth telling, and that poll would clearly show, and does show, that people don't say they're going to vote for Trump. Certainly not all of the people. What polls say doesn't matter anyway. What people say to pollsters doesn't matter. What matters is only how the people vote. And all indications are that they are going to vote for Trump, but not him as an individual or as a person. They're voting for capitalism versus socialism. And that's a pretty big deal, right? I mean, those are the candidates in this election anyway. But it's not just for America. It doesn't matter where you live, Canada, England, anywhere. You're watching this show right now. This is a world thing. It truly is. You need somebody to kind of be in that parade that's leading it. And America leads. And the person at the front of that needs to be a capitalist. If he isn't, the whole world kind of starts to gather around him and hug and kiss and so on. And pretty soon, before you know it, America too is going down that road. And it will, if the other side is elected. A lot of stuff to take there, but I think you get it. President Trump, this is an interesting aside, I guess. He has four speechwriters on staff. And President Obama had nine speechwriters. President Obama, I don't think, ever went off script, ever, because he was talking. He was saying what other people told him to say. Basically, I guess he approved the speeches. Of course, he did. But it wasn't really him. It was mostly other people. Whereas Trump, he's off script all the time. I mean, he doesn't need a filter. I get it. But again, it's coming from him, from the person. It's kind of nice. He does use the teleprompter from time to time, and I understand that. But it's more him than anything else. Speechwriters make up to $120,000 a year. You know, one of the most peculiar jobs in the White House is the director of the Presidential Gift Office. And this job pays $58,200 a year. And the director is responsible for all gifts that are presented to the president, because gifts must go into the National Archives. The president is not allowed to keep gifts. But after his term, he can actually buy them at market value. A couple of years ago at the SHOT Show, Jesse James and I were having a chat, and he had just made a nice gun, and it's called the Trump 45. It was a dandy, and he's a friend of the president's. And he gave it to him, and he shouldn't have. And he said that to me. I should have waited until after he was out of office, because now it goes into the archives, and he can't get it. And I said, well, he can buy it afterwards. And he said, I don't know. I make a good gun. It's going to be worth too much. I said, Jesse, don't get too full of yourself. But anyway, it's kind of fun and kind of interesting. Just another staff member doing his job, not Jesse James, but the guy in that position, taking all the gifts and cataloging them and putting them away. Interesting. The Democratic Senate candidate in Kansas supports Australian-style gun confiscation. Okay. She has a daughter living in Australia, Barbara Bollier, and she says, I praise their confiscation. They took the guns all away from all the innocent people, the people who don't do bad things, and God bless Australia. My daughter lives there, and they are safe. Why don't you move there? Your daughter's there. I mean, maybe she has a spare bedroom. That'd be a good thing. Go there. Have a nice day. Watching Amy Barrett in the Supreme Court nomination to the confirmation hearings has been a really interesting thing for me. I've enjoyed it. Watching so many people open their mouths and sounding and looking intelligent, and then in a couple of minutes you figure it out that they're Democrats and they're just sharp as marbles, really. They got the education. They got the nice wordage. But they don't have any sense. No good sense. Common sense. Wow, there isn't any of that anymore either. It's only good sense, and they don't have it. Blah, blah, blah. But it's interesting. They go in circles. And some of these people, you would expect them to be better. But anyway, that's life. So she was asked from, kind of forget who now, about the Second Amendment. And that person said, do you own a gun? She said, yes, I own a gun. I thought that was kind of cool. Hey, yippee-yay. Speaking of guns, there are some people that should never, ever own a gun. We have an assortment. It's a very short clip. An assortment of people with guns, people who should never even be close to a gun. Have a look. Hey, big shots? I don't know. I mean, anyway, guns are good, but as said earlier, not for everyone. Y'all have a good day and come back. See ya.